114 has been announced as our song of encouragement and invitation this evening. The title of that song is Trust and Obey. That's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to trust Him and obey Him. The Bible says that, speaking of Jesus, Hebrews 5, verse 8 and 9, though He was Son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. Being then made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey Him. So if we want to be saved, then we must obey our Lord. And knowing who He is and knowing what He does for us, and especially knowing that He died for our sins, ought to cause us to trust Him and obey Him. But you know, in order for us to obey Him, we got to love Him. Jesus said as much in John chapter 14. He says over there about verse 21 through 23, that he says to His disciples that if a man love Me, he will keep My word. And then He makes the statement in John 14, again, if you love Me, keep My commandments. So love's got to be in the picture in order for us to obey Him. That's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about reasons why we should love the truth. This morning, of course, those of us who were here remember that we talked about the enduring nature of the truth. You know, it was true in the past, it's true in the present, and it'll be true in the future. There's at least three reasons that I want to share with you this evening why we should love the truth. I want to share in reading just one verse of the scripture text that we have in our bulletin, and that's verse number 97, and I trust that you'll read all the way through 105, and we even refer to a few of these verses in between in our lesson for this evening. But in verse 97, the psalmist says this. He says, oh, how love I Thy law. It is my meditation all the day. The law, again, has reference to the truth or the word of God. And the psalmist says, I love it. Oh, he says, how love I Thy law. It is my meditation all the day. You know, one would think that everybody, realizing, of course, what the truth is and what it does for us, you would think that everybody would love the truth. But you know, this is not the case. Everybody don't love the truth. It is apparent because the scripture talks about certain individuals that do not love the truth. Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse number 19 that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Light is representative of truth. Men love error. Men love darkness rather than light, he says, because their deeds are evil. And Paul wrote to the Thessalonian Christians, and he talked about some there that would even perish because they received not the love of the truth. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and verse 10. What a sad state these individuals will experience in the judgment. That is, those who do not love the truth will not receive the love of the truth. It's going to be a sad situation. Because if a person doesn't love the truth, certainly they're not going to receive the truth. They're not going to obey the truth. Thereby, they just cannot be saved. So I hope tonight that I'm sharing this lesson with those of us who love the truth. But just in case, if you have some inkling in your mind, Satan is putting some inkling in our minds about not caring anything about the truth, not loving the truth, I hope this lesson will help erase that out of our minds. And that we'll also be able to share this with others whom we may come in contact with who would say that I don't care anything about the truth. And sometimes you'll talk to people that will say, I don't care what the Bible says. Well, I hope that we can share some of these things with them tonight. And these things will help us to be more steadfast as we stand on the truth of God's word. Well, I said I want to share three things tonight that I believe are some good, solid reasons why we should love the truth. And we could even ourselves make the same statement that David made, the psalmist made, in verse 97 that I just shared in reading in Psalms division 119. Well, number one, the truth, and of course we know the truth came from God, because again, this morning we talked about God being the very essence of truth. So the truth came from God. So we ought to love the truth this evening and keep on loving the truth all the days of our lives because, number one, it shows God's great and genuine concern for our well-being. You know, if God didn't care anything about our well-being, he wouldn't have given us the truth, I don't believe. But because he cares about our well-being, he knows, he's the all-knowing God. He knows that our well-being is dependent upon our, again, trusting and obeying the truth, knowing the truth. He knows our well-being depends upon that, and that's why he gave us his truth. You know, when one does not, is not concerned about another's well-being or best interest, they don't care anything about doing what is in that person's best interest. Think about Satan. We know Satan, don't we? Satan does not care about a person's best interest. That goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 when we come face to face, when we are made acquainted with the serpent who was Satan. Genesis chapter 3, we know what it said there. Beginning at verse number 1, the Bible says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Verse 4 says, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. If the serpent had had any ounce of concern for the well-being of the woman, he never would have said that. But because he didn't care anything about the well-being of the woman, he put these thoughts in her mind. And of course, we know that the reading goes on and says that when the woman saw that the fruit was desirable, she ate of it. But he said this because he didn't care about her well-being. He didn't care about our well-being because, again, he is just the direct opposite of God. We said that this morning in this morning's lesson. And that scripture that we shared again in John chapter 8 that talks about him being the father of lies. He was a murderer, the Bible says, from the beginning. And that's what he's talking about, a murderer from the beginning. All the way back to Genesis, Satan was a murderer. There is no ounce of truth in Satan. Everything that comes from Satan's lips is a lie. Even when it sounds like the truth, it's still meant to deceive. There is no truth, the Bible says, in him. And so with no truth being in him, then we can see how he wouldn't have any interest in the woman's well-being. Only God, who is the essence of truth, cared about Eve, cared about Adam. That's why he said to them, "Is, as I paraphrase, every tree that's in this garden, you may freely eat. But of that one that's sitting there, right there in the midst, don't you touch it." If God hadn't cared about them, he wouldn't have said that. But because he cared, he wanted them to know what was best for them. Don't mess with the tree that sits in the midst, because the day you eat off it, you're going to surely die. And we know the rest of the story. That's why we're in the fix that we're in today, because they disobeyed God. So when one is not concerned about another's interests, lies will be told. Deceptions will be given. Not only Satan is a good candidate of one who does not care about one's best interests, but I think of somebody else, like that old prophet that was down in Bethel. The book of 1 Kings teaches us about that. 1 Kings chapter 13. There was an altar down there where sacrifice was being made. And first of all, the altar wasn't supposed to be there because it should have never been there. But we know what happened prior to that. As a result of Jeroboam's sin in trying to stop, when the kingdom divided, trying to stop the people from going back to Jerusalem to worship, which was the place where they should have gone to worship, he says, "It's too much for you to go up to Jerusalem." And so the Bible says he placed an altar in Bethel and another one in Dan. And of course, God was displeased with that. And so God sent this young prophet down there to cry out, to speak out against this altar that was there. And of course, Jeroboam didn't like it. Jeroboam reached out to catch this man or to touch him, grab him. And we know how the Bible says that his hand, again, paraphrased, it became paralyzed. But then, that was a prophet that God had sent down now, the young prophet. And God said to him, you know the story, I'm sure. When you go down there and when you complete your business, don't you eat anything while you're down there? Don't you go in to stay with anybody? And don't you come back the same way? Well, the old prophet heard about this young prophet being down there. And he sent some out to get him, to bring him back. And the Bible says this about this, that again, the young prophet recited to the old prophet what God had said to him. Instead of him, of course, obeying God, he listened to the old prophet, because the old prophet said this. He says, "I'm a prophet also." But the scripture says, but he lied to him. If this old prophet, again, had been concerned about the well-being of the young prophet, he never would have told him to disobey God. That's basically what he told him. Just disobey God. Just come on in, because I'm a prophet. And God said that you ought to come on in and eat with me. And we know the rest of the story, that when this young prophet left, the Bible says a lion devoured him or killed him in the way. Well, again, if he had just done what God said, what the truth was, go down and do what I told you to do. Don't eat with anybody. Don't stay with anybody. Don't come back the same way. If he had just done that, everything would have been well with him. But because he chose to listen to a lie, it was not well with him, and he lost his life. God always looks out for our best interests. And I know that many times we'll hear voices that will say to us, And I don't mean literal voices. I'm talking about figuratively. God doesn't mind you doing this. God doesn't mind you doing that. Because God knows. Have you heard somebody say things like that? They may not have been trying to get you to do something, but they may have been trying to justify something that they had done that was wrong. And they say, well, God understands. If it's different from what the truth of God's word says, you can know that that's an influence of the devil that's trying to get that individual, or trying to get us, if we're the one that's guilty, trying to get us to go against God because he doesn't care about our well-being. But God says, if you do what I tell you to do, things will be well with you. And he said that to his people, Israel. When they were going into the land, he says, I'm giving you these laws, these statutes, these judgments, that it may be well with you. God says, I'm looking out for your best interests. So I say to us this evening, don't let anybody influence us to go against what we know the Word of God teaches. God is concerned about our best interests. Therefore, we ought to love his Word. There is no word like God's Word. So we ought to love it because God gave it to us because he was concerned about our best interests. He wants us one day to come home to live with him. It got all messed up back there in the garden when we talked about what Satan did to Mother Eve, if I can term it like that. It got all messed up back there. And God wants to remedy this situation. As a matter of fact, he had a plan already in motion before the world began to remedy that situation. And so, yes, it does matter whether we obey the Lord or not. Somebody say, you know, God loves you too much to condemn your soul to hell. Well, that's why, again, he gave us his word. But actually, he doesn't do the condemning. We condemn our own selves if we choose to disobey God. He, again, is concerned only about our best interests. He's not like Satan. He's not like this old prophet. He's going to tell us the truth, and he wants us to stick and stand on that truth. So we ought to love the Word of God. You see, God wants us to know the right way. You know, when Paul wrote to Timothy through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in 1 Timothy chapter 2, he says, I want you to pray for all men. And then he specifies some in that, for kings and for those that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceful life. And then he says this, verse number 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have, what? All men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants everybody to be saved. Now, you tell me he's not concerned about our best interests? Satan doesn't want anybody to be saved. Satan would just be happy if everybody is lost. But God wants everybody to be saved. He's looking out for our best interests. So we ought to love the Word of God. But not only should we love the Word of God because he's looking out for our best interests, but this is an extension of this point, which would be point number 2. God's word provides wisdom to guide us along the way of the journey that we're on. You know, we're on a journey. We're on a journey into eternity. Now, which eternity we will spend, again, will be left up to us. Meaning, if we obey God, we'll have a happy ending in eternity. If we disobey God, then we're not going to have a happy ending in eternity. But God's truth, God's word that we ought to love, provides us, I've said, with wisdom to guide us along the way. You see, we know where we want to go. We want to go to heaven, don't we? But we don't know how to get there. God had to tell us how to get to heaven. We can't dream our way into heaven. We can't wonder our way into heaven. We can't guess our way into heaven. And God knows that. Therefore, he gave us his word so that we would be able to live according to his precepts, his judgments, his ordinance, his commands, his law. And if we live according to that, then we can get to heaven where we want to go. But his word provides us then with that wisdom that will give us the direction in which we can go. Jeremiah said it, and we know it so well in Jeremiah 10:23, that is not a man that walketh to direct his steps. We need someone to direct our steps, and that someone is God. And so the psalmist said in Psalms 37, verse 23 and 24, listen to what the psalmist says. The psalmist says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We can't be good by ourselves. The Lord has to make us good. And he makes us good through his truth, through his word. Not forcing us, but we got to willingly receive and obey his word. So, he wants to order our steps, yes. But we need to be willing to obey his directions. So we ought to ask, we ought to pray for that wisdom and pray for that direction, that we may be able to understand his word even better. The psalmist said it like this in Psalms 119, verse 133. He says this, he says, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Paul, when he wrote to the church at Rome, in Romans chapter 6, he said that the one to whom we yield ourselves to obey is the ones that we're the servant of. So if we yield ourselves to righteousness, we're the servant of righteousness. But if we yield ourselves to unrighteousness, we're the servant of unrighteousness. But notice he says, yield ourselves to. That sounds like to me that that has to do with our will. Whether again, whether we're going to do what God says and become a servant of righteousness, or whether we're going to listen to what Satan says, or the influence of Satan, or we're going to listen to that and do what we want to do, we become servants of unrighteousness. So we got to participate in this thing. God gives us a direction, but we got to willingly allow him to order our steps. We got to willingly allow his word to guide and control us. But our natural self will not do it. You know what Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20? He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, he said, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, he says, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul is saying, I'll never be able to live like God wants me to live if I'm going to try to do it. I'm going to have to let God's word, the faith of the Son of God. Where do you get faith from? Where do we get faith from? From the word of God. We learn what God wants us to do, and we willingly obey it, then we can live. But it's really not us. It's Christ controlling us through his word that we have willingly obeyed. You've heard this scenario made from time to time. Is that when somebody slapped you or slapped me, what's our first instinct? Is to get them back. But the only way that would cause us to have a forgiving spirit or to walk away is the spirit of Christ in us. Because the natural man, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. That's the way the natural man acts. But the faith of God through his word teaches us that that's not the way we're supposed to act. And so we are to willingly submit ourselves. And when we do that, God is ordering our steps. And we are allowing then ourselves to become servants of righteousness. So God's word, which we ought to love, provides us with wisdom to guide us along the way. The psalmist even said it like this. When we go back to our text, 119, look at a couple other verses in that, 98 and 99. Look at what he says. He says, through thy commandments has made me what? Wiser. That's the wisdom he's talking about. He says, through thy commandment, thou hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Now, you know, several weeks ago, y'all remember, those of us who were here remember, I gave us a lesson on the value of meditation. If it were not for meditation on God's word, I don't believe the psalmist would have written this here. The reason why he says again that I am made wiser is because through thy word, he says, I get understanding. And he says the reason that is because thy testimony are my meditation. That's what I think on. That's what I dwell on. That's what I muse on. That's what I go to bed on and lay down on and get up on and walk along the road on and come back home on. I'm meditating on the word of God. But when we just give God's word a passing thought, we don't get much wisdom out of his word like that, because it doesn't take root in our lives and in our hearts. So we need to meditate on the word of God. And when we meditate on the word of God, we'll see the wisdom in doing things the way God teaches us to do them. But if we don't give it any thought, we're going to handle whatever situation comes into our lives, we're going to handle it the way we want to handle it. That's not the wisdom that we get from the word of God. It's so much better than the earthly wisdom, because James says it like this in James chapter 3, verse 13 beginning. He says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? He said, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom, he says, descendeth not from above, but is earthly. It's sensual, it's devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure and peaceful and gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now, where do you find all of those things being talked about in the word of God? That's the wisdom, he says, that is from above. No wonder the psalmist would say, through thy commandments, he says, they have made me wiser than mine enemies. Wisdom comes from the word of God. James said it like this by inspiration. He says that if you lack wisdom, James 1:5, he says, ask of God, that giveth to all men, he says, liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. The word of God provides us with wisdom, giving us direction in how we are to travel along this road of life. But then, the word of God, which we ought to love, provides stability for our life. We talked about things that changes so much this morning. We live in a world that's unstable. There's a lot of instability. Many factors figure into the instability of things. Even when you look at the earth itself, soil erosions. You look at the economy, so much instability in the economy. situations don't always remain the same, as we said this morning. People don't remain the same. So many things that are unstable. But you know what? The Word of God remains the same. Again, it was truth from the beginning. It's truth in the present. And it'll be truth in the future. It remains the same because it came from God. And the New Testament, especially that we have today, came from God through Jesus Christ. And just like God is the essence of truth, Jesus Christ is the essence of truth. You remember what he said in John 14, verse 6? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. I am the truth. Jesus is the very essence of truth. Again, he doesn't just speak truth, but he is truth. And so, he provides us with stability. The scripture says in Hebrews 13, in verse number 8, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, we can count on what Jesus says. We can count on the Word of God. We can count on that stability in our lives if we just hold true to it, if we just trust it and obey it. When the whole world is falling apart, we can be at peace. Why? Because we're standing on the Word of God. Time is filled with swift transitions. Naught of earth can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. God gives us stability. His word gives us stability. So we ought to love it. We ought to cherish it. Because it's the only thing that will give us stability in our lives. And because we can enjoy stability from the word of God, we ought to trust it and we ought to trust God. That's why the Proverbs writer says in Proverbs 3, another familiar passage, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct thy path. Thank God for truth. Thank God for his word. No wonder the psalmist would say, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. We can stand on the word of God. We can stand on the word of Christ because it's a sure foundation. Do you love God's word? Do you realize again that God has our best interests at heart? I hope you love God's word. Do you love God's word? Because you realize that it is through God's word that we get wisdom to travel through this journey that we're trying to make it to heaven. Do we love God's word because it provides stability for our lives? Because of all of this that God's word does for us, we ought to just feel compelled to love it. Because nobody can do us like God can. Thank God for his word. If you're here then this evening, and maybe you don't really have that love for the Word of God, I hope this lesson again have encouraged you to love God's Word. Because without his Word, you wouldn't know, and I wouldn't know, what to do to please him. So why not obey him through trusting his Word? If you have not obeyed his gospel and become a member of the church that he died for, I want to encourage you to do that tonight. You walk contrary to the will of God. I want to hope and trust and pray tonight that you'll realize that you need to turn from whatever it is that's causing you to stand a guilty distance from God and come back to the truth of God's word. Now, if you just need prayer, whatever it is, you ought to do it. And you ought to do it because, number one, you love God and you love his word. While we stand and while we sing, would you come? Lord, in the light of his word, what a glory He sheds all away. While we do His good will, He abides with us still. Would you come if you need to? We'll trust that. Obey, trust that, obey.